Easter Sunday is a time when we remember especially the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a day of triumph and praise that he would come to earth to sacrifice himself and crush the powers of the devil and death, and rise in majesty to lead his people into the presence of his heavenly Father. What a glorious day. One of the great texts for this is in Matthew, the very last chapter, chapter 28. At the end of chapter 27, in verse 63, the Pharisees come to Pilate and tell him that they're concerned lest there be some resurrection forged. And so in verse 64, they urge that there would be a special effort to see to it that the tomb would be sealed and that there would be no deception concerning an alleged resurrection. In verse 65, Pilate says, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." And he's obviously speaking with irony on his part, for he has no faith in the resurrection, no faith in religious things at all. He does have troops, so do the priests, let them attend to the matter. He is quite sure about what will happen. However, in chapter 28, God does something very different. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Now, the other Mary was the mother of James and Joseph, mentioned in verse 56 in the preceding chapter. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. For the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, 'Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you.' And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Now let's pause here for a moment and meditate on what really happened. At the end of the Sabbath, that is, the closing of the Sabbath period, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, two ladies named Mary came to the sepulchre. Plainly it was very early indeed in the morning. The one was Mary Magdalene. The other, Mary, who was mentioned in the preceding chapter. They come out of respect and love and reverence for this person that was overwhelmingly powerful in their lives. But as they come, there is a great earthquake. The ground trembles, and the angel of the Lord appears. Now, the earthquake came because the angel of the Lord was such a powerful being, the very ground trembled. And he came and rolled the stone from the door. Now, the tombs in that area generally stood about head high, and oftentimes you had to duck a little bit to get inside. But the stone that covered that would therefore be close to 5.5-6 feet high. And it was thick. It was the kind of stone that you wouldn't just push on to roll out of the way. It had weight behind it. And so people felt that was quite secure. But here is the angel who comes, and to him that stone is not a problem. He rolls it away as though it were made out of cardboard. And it certainly wasn't. And then he sat upon it. The image is not that of him perching on top of it, but on sitting on a normal chair. So when you contemplate that, the risen stature of that angel must have looked like 15, 16 feet tall. Now, it says that the keepers, the guards, did shake. Yeah, you better believe it. And that was something that absolutely terrified them, to have a spiritual being show up who has the power to move a stone that none of them could have moved individually, and to sit on top of it as though it were a throne that he was quite familiar with, towering over them. Boy, you better think that they were putting two and two together. They were in real danger, because they were there to keep that personage in the tomb. And this angel was obviously there with an opposite intention. Now, this is a little sample of the other realm breaking into our realm here, in this case with rather terrifying effects upon the guards. But friends, this is what goes on all the time, because the angels are God's ministrants to his people. They are sent as messengers with blessing and encouragement and strength and what have you for God's people. And they have a ministry that is ongoing, not just on special occasions as this one. And that should cause us to think, what we see in this world is a pale shadow of what is in the next. It is something that we ought to think of more often, because they can see us quite easily. We don't see them normally. But that doesn't mean they aren't here. And I often wonder, as we celebrate services like this Easter day, how many angelic ministrants may be observing what is going on here and appreciating the prayers and the songs of God's people as they celebrate their great Lord's resurrection. For they celebrate it also. They understand what he has done and the power that he manifests toward his people. And I'm sure it's a matter of wonder to them that he should love such poor, insignificant creatures as we are. But he is Lord of all, angelic and human, and he loves his people. What a wonderful revelation. Now, the assurance that the angel gives in verse 5, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Now, the angel has full knowledge of the situation, full knowledge of the character of the persons that are there. And that's something that we don't perceive here. We meet people all the time. We have no idea for most of them whether they're good people or bad people. We have no way of telling from the heart. And we mean well in our greetings to them, but we don't really understand them. The angel now is equipped with much greater perception. He knows exactly what's in the heart of each one. He knows that these women are very devout believers who worship the Lord Jesus. And he's not guessing about that. He knows precisely. He knows that the guards were rough individuals who had no concern about who was in that tomb. And naturally, they were in terrible danger, because the angel was not going to stand for anything hindering the Lord from rising from the dead. So the guards were just like dead men. They just collapsed to the ground. That's all. One sight of that angel was enough. Now, the text goes on to say that the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. And lo, I have told you. So here is the message from the angel, very specific, delivered to those women who were there at the tomb. He knows that they are born again servants of the Lord. He knows that they're going to go and report to the disciples what they need to know. And he assures them they should go quickly and accomplish their task because it's very important. They were witnesses to an empty tomb. The Lord rose and left that tomb forever. He will never be back in it. He is now above all the trials and difficulties of this whole realm. He is back in that heavenly realm where he belongs and where grief and pain can never touch him again. He bore it all on Calvary. He bore it for our sake. And now he stands with triumphant power, having redeemed his people, having paid the price of his own death as an atoning sacrifice for all who will believe. There's not one left out, and he knows every one of them from the beginning to the end. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and now he can go back to that realm where he belongs and share with his Father that splendor and majesty of the divine throne in glory. That is where he belongs. That is where we shall see him when we leave this realm and go to that place that he has prepared for his people. Now, in verse 8, the text tells us, they, the women, departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So he gives them a commission, a task to perform, to go specifically to his brethren, his people, and tell them about the greatness of the victory that he has had over death. Well, that was a wonderful task they had, but he was going about and he was going to see them all before he left and went back to his Father. But notice that in verse 9, it says they came and held him by the feet. They were prostrate before him because he was obviously now in a realm of glory. He was obviously a personage who had immense powers, but they were so thankful that he had conquered death, and they worshiped him. Now this tells us that it is proper to worship the Lord Jesus just as it is to worship the Heavenly Father. God is a Trinity, three persons, and no one can ever do despite to one person of the Trinity by honoring another. They are one in purpose and heart, one in the supremely divine nature that they share. And so they worship the Lord Jesus, and in doing so please the Father and the Spirit. Now, verse 11 says that when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave, the text says, sufficient money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. And so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So here's an interesting thing. They Take these soldiers, these guards who were there, who were supposed to keep the tomb safe. And they give them sufficient money. The reason for that is, to be on guard to defend a particular thing, in the Roman way of thinking, was a very, very solemn task. And if they failed in that task, they forfeited their lives. So, if you were on duty and someone came by and stole something while you weren't looking, you were executed. And so, the sum, King James says, large money, sufficient to get these soldiers to admit something that could cost their necks. So, obviously, there was a lot of cash that changed hands there for them to be persuaded to make such a statement at all. But they took the money, verse 15 says, and did as they were taught. So, here's a case where they were bribed to tell a lie. And everyone who had seen the scene knew what the truth was. The tomb was empty. There was an angelic being that opened it up. And inside, there was no body. There had been one, but he left it. Now, this is one of the commanding revelations of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. After such a dreadful death, such terrible suffering, he rises from the dead with no harm at all. They could not harm the Son of God. And oh yes, he suffered as a human being. But they could not harm him because of who he was. And so, he left the tomb, not as a poor, frail individual, scarcely able to totter along. No, he left with the power of the divine Son. There was no hindrance to him to leave that tomb. He had the authority to give his life. He had the authority to take it again. And he lives in eternal power forever. And there's not a thing that the guards could have done about it. There wasn't a thing that the authorities could have done about it, because he willed to conquer death. He did it because he was doing it for his people. For all who face the solemn thought that they too, if the Lord tarry, must face death, must be put in a grave also. He conquered all that so that there is no longer any fear for the believer. We know that he lives. His power was so great, he broke the tomb open. Yes, he broke the powers of death. And he stands in majestic authority at his Father's right hand, waiting for the moment to summon his people to himself. Now this is the gospel truth. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world. He accomplished that triumph. He broke the power of the devil, the power of sin. And now he is able to bring his people into the presence of his Father because they have his righteousness. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a mighty Savior we have. And it should be a matter of serene confidence that he has such keeping power for us that we may walk safely through this world. The dangers that confront us are not real. The dangers that we have to face even through death are not intimidating, because we know him who is Lord of life and Lord of death, and we claim him as our Lord. Now, the text goes on. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach, that is, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the consummation of the world. Amen. Now here's a declaration of the majesty of the great King, for he is the great King. He has the authority to sit upon the throne of God and to decree the destiny of all men, for good or for ill. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The Father is pleased to delegate to his divine Son all authority to accomplish his will concerning mankind and the entire universe. The Lord Jesus acts on behalf of his Father. He is the Son of the Heavenly Father, and he bears in himself now the authority of the triune God. And so, this statement is a command, a commission, orders to accomplish the purpose of the living God. The purpose of God is not that God's people should assemble themselves together as a little company, a safe group, hiding in a protected spot. The will of the Father is that they go forth and declare to the world the greatness of the victory that their Lord has won. They are now witnesses. They are now proclaimers of the good news, preachers of the gospel of salvation. And all believers are involved in this, not just the apostolic company. Make disciples of all nations. That's why we send missionaries to the foreign field. That's why we pray for these people that they may be successful in their presentation of the truth to those about them. It is the will of God, declared right here in this text. He wills it that his people go and spread the word abroad. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about his victory over sin, death, and the devil. Tell them about the salvation that he offers to all who will believe. The door is wide open. They too may come. This is our message. And this is the great privilege that every believer has. For each one of us who know the Lord Jesus are representatives of him to others. He's left us in this world because we have a purpose here. There are people that we need to contact for him. There is a message that we need to get out to others for him. And we are here because he wills that we accomplish that great purpose that is his for the world. The gospel of salvation, that anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus, whoever he may be, can be saved by simply trusting the Lord Jesus as Savior. What a simple thing, and yet how powerful. No other thing can change the heart and character of an individual like this. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ brings eternal life, brings a different personality, brings a victory over sin, death, and the devil that nothing else could give. It is marvelous that God can work so through the simple witness of a human being that others might receive that same powerful gift of eternal life in Christ. Make disciples of all nations. There is a tremendous task, and this is why people like Tim Kazee go traveling to remote portions of the world, seeking to find more lost people, that they might show them the path of salvation and bring them to this great King who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Friends, every one of us has the opportunity of meeting other people who need to know about this great victory, who need to know about this great Savior. and find out that there is deliverance from sin. There is freedom from the attacks of the devil. There is a sure promise of eternal life in Christ. They need to hear it. And for most of them, the grave difficulty is they don't know about it. And oh, they've heard about Christianity. That's very different from knowing what Christianity is all about. But we, on the other hand, know what it's all about. We're on the inside. We know what the Scriptures say. We've read the promises. We realize the extent of the victory. We need to share that knowledge. We're not here just to coast to the end of our lives. We're here because God has a purpose for us and wants us to be messengers to go and make disciples of all nations. That starts right where we are, but it goes as far as we can reach. And that's why we send missionaries. That's why we support people on the foreign field. Yes, but we have a testimony right here to neighbors, friends, people that we don't know well, simply that we meet by, quote, accident. The message is needed wherever we turn. That's why we are here. You know, friends, there are a great many people who are in this world thinking that they are here to enjoy life, to have a good time, to have fun with friends and relatives. But that's not why anybody is here. And it's nice that we can have pleasant times with people. It's nice that we can enjoy life. But that's not why we're here. We're here because He has a purpose for us, to go and tell others about Him. Now, that task that was given to the disciples is ours. So for every one of us, we're not here on vacation. We are not here just by accident. We are here because God has work for us to do. We are here to get the gospel out, to tell others about this staggering victory that the Lord accomplished over sin, death, and the devil. And He gives that victory to His people as a free gift. A marvelous Savior, a powerful Lord, someone that we should be quick to obey and honor and serve. This commission is not a commission just to the disciples. This commission is to all who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. We have a solemn responsibility to be witnesses for Him. That is why we are here, friends. We are not here to enjoy life. We are not here on vacation. We are here as servants of the Lord, with work to do, and people to talk to, and letters to write, and contacts to make, because of Him. The resurrection is the great victory that demonstrated the power and majesty of our Lord. The commission is our response to who He is and what He desires. He wants to see the lost saved. He wants to see the message of His victory proclaimed. He wants to see His people busy in His work for His purposes, that the time may come when God's people assembled together can recognize that because of Him, such a vast multitude of people will be in glory, who are truly brothers together in a common salvation and worshipers of the great Lord, who by His victory over sin, death, and the devil opened the door to salvation and heaven and welcomes His people in forever and forever. Friends, the victory of this Easter day is a victory that will last throughout all eternity. And the people who wind up in glory will be there because of that day of victory where the Lord broke the power of sin, death, and the devil, and made possible eternal salvation for everyone who will believe. How thankful we should be. How zealous we should be that we might share that tremendous blessing with as many as possible because of Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, forgive us that we forget sometimes why we are here. Forgive us that we seek pleasure, vacations, whatever, and look forward with joy to such occasions. Help us to keep focused on Thy purpose for our lives. Help us that we may keep before ourselves that vision of the Easter victory where Thou didst break the power of sin, death, and the devil, and come forth in victory and commission Thy people to go and tell others. Help us, Lord. Give us grace that we may fulfill Thy purpose and share with others the greatness of Thy victory, the greatness of Thy salvation, yes, the greatness of Thy love for us. Help us, Lord, to love Thee in return, and to love sinners, and to welcome them into the realm of Thy sheep. Help us, for Thy sake. Amen.